The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 36 through 40, which is actually a continuation of a section that began back at verse 32. As you remember, this chapter is talking about faith. The faith of the Lord working in people's lives. Beyond their human abilities to perform the work of God or even to do the will of God, but God empowering them by His Spirit, and it's called faith. But when the writer of Hebrews got to verse 32, he realizes that he could just go on and on and on about examples. He saw time was escaping him. He said in verse 32 to talk about Gideon or Barak and both Samson and Jephthah and both David and Samuel and the prophets. But verse 33 from last week is very important. For it says, who through faith, that little prepositional phrase, fits in with 16 verbs that are listed from verse 33 down to verse 38. 16 verbs that work off of through faith. And the reason why this is so important, and those of you that study the word from a Greek standpoint and a diagram standpoint, it's important because every one of these verbs describe an action or an event that happened through faith. And many today do not accept that hardship can happen through faith. But we begin our reading at verse 36, which is actually a continuation of verse 35. But others, different ones, received trial of mockings and whippings, and yet still more of chains, that is being chained up in prison. They were stoned. They were cut in half or in two. They were tempted or tested or tried. They died in murder of the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goat's skins, while being destitute, while being afflicted, while suffering adversity, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth. And these all, after having obtained witness through faith, did not obtain the promise. God, having foreseen something better concerning us, in order that not apart from us they should be made complete. Now it's interesting that these 16 verbs that begin back at verse 33, every one of them are attached to the preposition through faith. Through faith. Concerning all these people, in verse 33, the first thing we saw last time was that kingdoms were overcome. It was through faith, through obeying the Lord as to how He wanted the battle fought. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched or extinguished the power of fire. They fled from the edges of the sword. They were empowered from weakness. They became strong in war. They caused the armies of the foreigners to yield. Women received their dead out of resurrection But others were beaten to death, not receiving the redemption in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. So in verse 35, there's a change there. There's now an introduction to two groups. In verse 35, they're introduced by the Greek word alos, others, from the ones we've just mentioned. Others are beaten to death through faith. Strange. Not accepting their deliverance so that they can obtain a better resurrection. And today it starts out with verse 36 where it says, and others, heteros, people different than these. But it's all through faith. You see, some people are delivered and some people are executed. Some people, for the time being, are delivered out of suffering. Other people are delivered into it. All through faith. The working of God's Spirit coming to them, persuading them to surrender to their circumstances. Verse 36 says, this would be the 12th verb, others received their testing or trial of mockings and of whippings and yet still more of chains and prison. That was their trial. That was their test. By the way, the word for trial or testing from a Greek standpoint, we recognize that we go through trials or that we're being tested. Peira is the Greek word and it means to experience. That's it. The reason why it's translated a trial is because it's a negative human thing to go through. So it's called a trial. And yet in Hebrews chapter 5, it says those believers who only can take the milk of the word and they're not old enough or mature enough to handle the meat of the word is that they have not experienced the word of righteousness. It's the word para. So depending on what context the word is used, it has tremendous meaning. What is a trial? It's an experience. In the human, we would say it's not a good experience. But to the Lord, every circumstance is a time to experience the Lord. How many times would somebody ask me and say, well, how's your day? Well, I'm going through a trial. That has a negative connotation to it. But how many times do we tell people, well, I'm going through an experience. I'm going through a situation where I'm looking and learning to experience the Lord. Not putting any kind of value, positive or negative, on the circumstance itself. It's just been designed for me to experience the Lord. Through faith, others, it was their lot to go through mockings and whippings and yet to be chained and to be put in prison through faith. It was God's direction for them. It was an experience. Somehow we can understand, at least 15, 20 years ago, we understood that in communist countries, and there are still countries today where Christians suffer persecution. But several years ago, Jesus to the communist world and one of the groups and organizations would travel around and share how we need to pray for those Christians who have been imprisoned and who are being persecuted for their faith. There are people today who are suffering for their faith. We don't know what that is. We don't know what it's like to have the government come in and haul us off to prison, lock us up for 10 or 20 years, trying to get us to denounce the faith or to stop our influence amongst other people. We don't know what it's like to hunger and thirst for the Word of God and know that if you're caught with a Bible in your house, you're persecuted for it. So you have the Bible on microfilm and you have a microscope disassembled and scattered throughout the house so that people won't know what they are if they find the individual parts. And whenever they want to read the Word, they have to go find all those parts, put it together, and read the microfilm to be able to read the Word. We know what it's like to be persecuted. And yet when we respond and pray for these people and even write letters to smuggle them in to be an encouragement to them because we feel bad for them. We don't have to suffer, they do, so we want to help them. And they write back, the letter that was smuggled back out said, "Thank you for praying for us, but we're praying for you. You don't know what it's like to walk with the Lord." They would take the deliverance from their persecution if it was given to them, but they are the ones who were sitting in prison receiving the encouragement and love and prayers of the body of Christ and the free world, and yet they're smuggling the letter out. They're not saying, "Please pray that we're delivered." They're saying, "We're praying for you. You don't know what it's like to walk with the Lord. You know, you stub your toe and the world's come to an end, you know. We don't know what it's like." And we have not yet in the body of Christ accepted the fact that this kind of treatment can be through faith. The leading of the Lord. I've come to realize over the years, and this is just kind of a summary statement of what the Bible is presenting. You can take it or leave it. You can take it and read the Word and see if it's true or not. But basically, there are not very many people who can be entrusted with suffering. We studied earlier in this chapter how that Moses, when he became great, when he reached the age that he could take over and be second in command in Egypt and experience all the treasures of Egypt, we saw that by faith, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he considered, the leading thought of his mind was, it is more valuable to go over and suffer with God's people than it is to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. That's amazing. How does a person see suffering as the most valuable thing that you could ever have in your life? And purposely choose to give up the good life, as we call it, in order to suffer, because he realizes, "I should be over there suffering." Now, if it was me, I'd say, "Praise the Lord. I got delivered. I'll pray for you, brethren. But there must be something special here that, you know, God's blessing is upon me because I got taken in by Pharaoh's household, and even though I'm Jewish, I'm part of Herod's household, and I get to escape the hardship." But he purposely, voluntarily chose to go suffer with God's people rather than enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. That is a miracle. That is the Spirit of God. For a person to be entrusted with suffering is a great privilege. There are not many people who can be entrusted with hardship because we're like the Israelites. Even though God gives us all of our provision, it's difficult, so we complain and we go around the mountain for 40 years. God's ministry to our heart, the depths of a relationship with the Lord, comes through suffering. Hardship. difficult experiences, the more difficult the experience, the deeper we experience Christ. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I prayed for deliverance 3 times, but the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, I get it. The circumstances don't have to change. Because God's grace is sufficient to match any circumstance. Picture the function of a submarine, except for the one that just crashed a couple of weeks ago. The submarine is built so that as they go in the depths of the sea, the pressure that's coming up against the submarine, inside the pressure is an equalizer so that the whole thing doesn't collapse. They lose that inside pressure, it all collapses. God is saying to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, whatever the circumstance is, my grace is sufficient. The internal power and sustenance and ministry is at least equal to the pressure from outside. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul ministered to the Christians in Corinth by saying that there is no trial or temptation, experience, that has overcome you that is not common to man. But God has, with the experience, made a way of escape so that you can hold up under it, bear through it. Paul understood the answer to life. The answer to life is not looking for a way out. The answer to life is turning within, where Christ dwells in the inner man, and experiencing the depth of His ability and capacity. Our natural response is to fight it, to come up with every kind of human resource we can. It is through faith that they received the trial of mockings and whippings and even chains and prison. Through faith. Now some today would say, oh, that doesn't belong there. We'll follow it through. Follow all the verbs through. And it'll even tell you at the end, in case you didn't catch it by way of diagram. At the end it says, these all obtained witness through faith. All of them. Verse 37. They were stoned. Not only in the Old Testament, but look at Stephen in the New. He was stoned to death. And they said his face, while he was being stoned, his face was like the face of an angel. He saw glory. He was dying for Christ. They were stoned. They were cut in half. Tradition says, and this is how they treated the prophets, but tradition says that Isaiah was cut in half with a wooden saw. That's how he died. That's how they treated messengers in those days that said something they didn't like to hear. Cut them in half with a wooden saw. How do you like that for faithfulness? I'm thinking of John the Baptist, even in the New. Great amongst prophets was John the Baptist, but he was still beheaded. They were tested. They died in murder of the swords. Catch this in verse 37. They went around, that's the verb, they went around in sheepskins and in goats' skins while being destitute. It means to have to be lacking. Lacking of food, lacking of proper clothing. All they had was sheepskin and goat skins. They were being afflicted while they were wandering, another participle that explains the main verb. Phleepsis, stress. The word affliction means stress. They were wandering around in sheepskins and goatskins while being destitute of the daily requirements of and their needs, while being stressed and pressured, and while suffering adversity. All participles. Then the parenthesis, of whom the world was not worthy. Boy, isn't that the truth? The child of God that has to suffer the worst at the hands of the world and expression of the world's not worthy of those people. Then he goes on to say, and this is a continuation, here's your fourth participle, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth. These were people who identified with God. And through faith, they lived this kind of life, experiencing the Lord, being a testimony for Him. Verses 39 and 40, look at the summary statement. And these all, how many? All of them. From verse 32 down to 38, through 38, these all. At the beginning it says through faith, and now it says these all, having obtained witness through faith, they did not obtain the promise. That blows my mind. Here are people who suffered adversity to identify with God, and still when they died, they didn't obtain the promise. It's singular. It's talking about Messiah and the finished work. The promise which is to come. What if Christ had not come yet? And we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ who is yet to come, knowing that if we die before He comes, our salvation won't be realized until He does. Maybe He'll come 1,000 years from now. Who lays down their life to go through such difficult experiences? Notice how I'm wording it. They are difficult experiences. But it's done through faith. Through faith we can suffer. But they did it not having obtained the promise. They died, and it's like the promise was still yet to come. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have the crucified Christ for their sacrifice. They were still looking ahead. It's still yet to come. They spent their whole life to say, to be continued. It's like, then the next participle in verse 40, after not having obtained the promise, God having foreseen to see ahead of time something better concerning us, in order that not without us they should be made perfect. In other words, they are not made complete until we were to come along and we were to experience the promise, and everything would come to an end, a completion, and everybody from Abraham to the last person to receive Christ, everybody would be one, and everybody would get to experience the conclusion of it all. Now, I must admit, in my own personal life, I've looked back and been encouraged to walk with Christ because, well, the rapture could happen at any minute, you know? Jesus has already come. He's already died for my salvation, and I've already received Him. I've already been born of His Spirit, so I'm just looking forward to getting out of here. You know? And sometimes that's encouraging to me to keep moving on. It gives me a purpose. It gives me a goal. But then I think about these people. What goal did they have? Knowing that they were going to die and still not obtain the promise that's given to them, but that's the reason why they suffered. That's amazing. That's miraculous. That is faith. I want to encourage you to know this section of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, because there are those who never talk about those who have to suffer, and it's all by faith. It's through faith that they suffered. faith is not a means by which we are delivered from hardship. That's not what faith is. Faith is a word that describes the fact that we trust the living Christ and the power of His Spirit living in our life, whom we cannot see and whom we cannot feel, but by faith we know He's there. We trust by faith that no matter what situation we're in, it's been designed by God for us to experience Him. And the more severe the hardship, the deeper we experience Christ. To the point that Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, may Christ be magnified in my body, that I might gain Christ. Paul says that's the only goal I have, is to know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings while being conformed to His death. So we actually in America, we have a choice. It kind of came to me the other day when I was standing in line at McDonald's, and you look up on the marquee, you know. Sorry, I didn't go to In-N-Out, but I'll graduate one of these days to a better place. But as you're looking up on the marquee, you see the menu. And I got to thinking that here in America, that's basically what we have. Every church has their menu. What do you want? Here's a church that says, come learn to walk with Christ in the midst of hardship. And here's another church that says, you come over here, you don't have to have hardship. We don't believe in it. Rush over here, you know. I want the menu that's no hardship. No pain, no gain. Please be aware that it's through faith that the Lord also leads us into difficult times so that we can experience Him and so that we can represent Him and so that others can see Christ in us. And realizing that our journey here on the earth is to get prepared to go be with Christ. That's why Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings and in my hardships for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, bring it on. The more I suffer, the more I experience Christ. And the more I experience Christ, the more I come to know Him. And the more I come to know Him and experience Him, the more I'm changed and transformed. He says, that's what it's all about. Or, the Lord can also give us a choice. Can. To say, do you just want to remain status quo for the rest of your time, kind of on cruise control, or do you want to go through some preparation for eternity? Some people would choose to go around the mountain. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to learn. I don't want to grow. Just want to go to heaven when I die, and that's it. I don't care if I'm there, if I'm the shoeshine boy, it doesn't make any difference. Others are led into circumstances by faith to experience Christ that they might grow. If that person is led that way, that person can be entrusted with suffering. That's a great treasure. That's worth more than silver and gold, Peter said. The proving of your faith, the testing of your faith, the development of your faith is more valuable than silver and gold. I pray that God by His Spirit would cause us to, our whole value system to be changed. For us to learn and to realize what is the great value in life. The greatest treasure in life is experiencing Christ in the midst of the trials. Being changed and transformed to know Him. And being used by Him so that others might see Him through us as we go through the hardship. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for another hour, another time. We pray that you take this time together and minister these important things to our hearts, and especially by your Spirit, give us understanding. We pray that you change our value system and how we evaluate things of life. Help us to see that identifying with Christ and going through the hardships is the greatest treasure in life. It's eternal. We pray that not only today, but throughout our life, you would help us to understand these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.